life Yvette Vickers lived to please people. When married men wanted her as their mistress, Yvette went along. When film producers wanted her to dress provocatively and act promiscuously on screen, Yvette agreed. When friends wanted her to drink, she drank. When photographers wanted her to undress, she undressed. It seemed there was nothing Yvette would not do to win approval and gain applause. So it's odd that for a woman who spent her entire life pleasing people, none of those people were there for her when she needed them the most. Yvette Vickers, movie actress, model, magazine cover girl, died all alone. The men who used her, the fans who followed her, the family who took from her, none of them were there for her when she had a heart attack alone at home and died. In fact, not only did Yvette die alone, she remained alone for months after her death. Sadly, it took nearly 1 year for anyone to notice that Yvette Vickers was missing. For nearly 1 year, her dead body lay rotting alone where she fell in her house, and no one even cared. When the grass in her compound grew tall and unkempt, no one came by. When the shingles on the roof began to come off, no one stopped over. When her house fell into disrepair, no one seemed to notice. No one called, no one came, no one cared. All her friends in life had simply vanished like a vapor in the breeze. When she had nothing left to offer them, they all walked out. The sad but true story of Yvette Vickers' lonely death sends a sober reminder to all of us this morning. Not every friend is a true friend. Not everyone who claims to be your friend really cares about you. In fact, sometimes those who act the most friendly are really out only to take what they can get. Once they've gotten what they needed from you, they'll dump you and desert you. So let me ask you a question this morning. What kind of friends do you have? Do you have friends that in the time of crisis and in the time of need, they will stick close to you? Do you have friends who love you enough to tell you the truth? Do you have friends who care enough to help you grow and become a better person? Sadly, when it comes to friends, even though we know these friends have influence, we still make a lot of mistakes. Oftentimes, we end up following the people who will quickly betray us while we ignore those who love us the most. But this morning, all of us have the chance to change that pattern. This morning, we're going to look at the clear choice facing each and every one of us today. And we're going to discover how to overcome the challenge of bad friends so we can experience lasting change. But before we uncover the truth, let's bow our heads and pray. Almighty and everlasting Father, we thank you this morning for your presence here with us. We thank you that you've gathered us together to worship you, and now we come before your feet to hear from you. I pray, Lord, that your Spirit will descend upon us and you'll give us the revelation, the illumination that we need, that we might make lasting life change. I submit everyone in this hall to you. I bind every spirit of the enemy that would come to deceive or disturb or distract us in the name of Jesus. I loose the power of the Holy Spirit upon us, Lord, that we will be convicted, that we will make the changes we need in our lives, and that you'll give us the grace and the outpouring of your love so that we might look to you and live according to your will. We thank you now, give you the glory and honor. We ask that you would change us and impact our world. For it's in Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, amen. I want to invite you to take a moment and pray with me. Just put your hands on your chest and say, Lord Jesus, speak to my heart, change my life, manifest your glory in me. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good morning once again. Welcome to Agape House, New Testament Church. I'm so glad that you're here today. I believe you are not here by accident, but your presence here today is part of God's purpose and plan. He wants to do something amazing in your life. If you believe it, say amen. And if you're watching online or via our television broadcast, let me just say that we trust that the power and the presence of the Lord will be seen and felt right where you are. If you're ever in Accra, please take time to come and visit us in person at Agape Land in East Lagoon. A warm welcome awaits you. Well, for the last week, we've been in a sermon series called Friend Shift. Your friends equal your future. And I believe that God has orchestrated this very series at this time because there are many of us that need to take a careful look at our friendships. You see, the Bible says if we walk with the wise, we'll become wise, but a companion of fools is destined for destruction. And so the Bible is warning us that we need to be careful who we follow. That's why last week I said, show me your friends and I will show you your future. Bad friends corrupt you. Good friends will lead you into becoming closer to God. We can all think of friends in our life who've had a powerful influence upon us. Some of us have a life story where the major intersections in our life were influenced either by the wrong friends or by the right friends. And yet, funny enough, even though we all know the power and influence of friends, many of us seem powerless to take the necessary steps to choose the right friends. We continue to allow ourselves to be influenced by the wrong crowd, and we neglect the opportunities God gives us to pursue the right friends. So this morning, in the time we have together, let me help you discover three steps to choosing your friends carefully. And when you follow these, you will shift your friends and shift your future. Now, to help us discover the truth, we've printed sermon notes. They look like this. They're inside your bulletin. And I invite you to take them out right now and follow along as we discover these three steps. And there at the top of your notes, you'll find your scripture text for today, found in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 26. It's on your notes. It's also on the screen behind me. And good news for our web and tech-savvy individuals, you can go to the back of your notes today and find instructions for how you can see these notes on your web-enabled device, your mobile device, your iPhone, your iPad, your laptop. Just go to youversion.com. Look up Agape House New Testament Church in Accra, and you'll find all of our notes there. They're there from now till the end of the week when we put up next week's notes. But listen, let's be frank. The words on the page or on the screen or online won't do you any good unless they're in your heart and on your lips. So I want to ask you to help me by reading our scripture text out loud together. Are you ready? Here we go. The righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word to your heart today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I love this simple but powerful truth from God's Word. The righteous choose their friends carefully. And that reiterates a fact and affirms a fact that we learned last week, and that is that we must choose our friends rather than letting them choose us. You see, friends are one of those major areas where we have a lot of control. You cannot choose your family members. You probably can't choose the people you go to school with. You may not be able to choose the people at your working place. You can't choose the people who live around you in the community, but you can choose your friends. And so our first step today is making that right choice. Pick up your pen and see the fact that the choice we face is friendship with God or friendship with the world. And if you would just take your pen and fill in the blanks, choice, God, and world. See, friends, here's the truth you need to know today so that you can begin to choose your friends wisely. The fact is, before you select individual friends, you need to make a foundational choice. Before you decide whether I'm going to hang out with Kofi or Kojo or Kwame, you need to make an overall choice, a choice of direction and a choice of destination. Am I going to associate with God or with the world? Am I going to be a friend of light or a friend of darkness? For the fact is, you cannot be a friend both of God and of the world systems. That's why the truth tells us in James chapter 4, verse 4, don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? I say it again, if you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. Now, I know at first when we read this passage, a lot of questions might come up. It might seem confusing to you. You might ask yourself, does that mean as a Christian, I cannot even have a friend who is not a follower of Jesus? Does it mean that if I follow Christ, I should be unfriendly to sinners? So let me take it a moment and make it plain to you today. This verse is not telling us that we cannot be friendly to sinners. The verse is not telling us that we should run away from every unbeliever we meet. I'm not saying we shouldn't love sinners. We're called to be the light of the world. We're called to be the salt of the earth. We're called to come close to people and plunder hell so that we can populate heaven. But this verse is telling us repeatedly, you have to make a fundamental, foundational choice. Whose side are you on? Are you with Jesus or Satan? Are you for righteousness or for sin? Are you a friend of God or friend of the world? But you see, the fact is, God and the world are completely opposite. You cannot have both. You cannot please God and please the people of this world at the same time. You cannot live for Christ and live for the systems and the beliefs of this world that crucified him. For God's ways and the world's ways are completely, totally, undeniably, diametrically opposed and different. There are, in fact, two very different kingdoms operating in the world today. The kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. And the world and all that is in it and all the people in it who are not following Jesus belong to the kingdom of darkness. And though we live in this world, we are not of this world. We don't belong to the kingdom of darkness, for the Bible says Jesus has come and delivered us out of that kingdom and planted us in the kingdom of light. And the wise choice of friends begins with the right choice of kingdoms. Bible makes it very clear there's a distinction between God's ways and the world's ways. And these two systems cannot merge together like oil and water. They will never mix. For the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:4, Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. So everyone outside of Christ has been blinded by Satan. But then secondly, 2 Timothy 2:26 says the devil has taken them captive to do his will. In other words, anyone outside of Christ, anyone outside of God's kingdom, anyone who's not yet saved is actually under the control and influence of the enemy. 1 John 5:19 says, we know that we are children of God and that the world around us is under the control of the evil one. And here we understand that these two kingdoms are in conflict. There's the kingdom of light, the kingdom of God, where Jesus has come and saved us and washed us and sanctified us and made us new and put his spirit in us. And we are surrounded by the kingdom of darkness, people who've not yet known Christ, who are under the control of the enemy, whose minds are darkened by the evil one. And Jesus has come to this earth to liberate such people. Jesus has come to destroy the works of the evil one. Jesus has come to plunder hell and populate heaven, to pierce this earth with the light and the truth of God. He's come to bring God's kingdom and destroy the kingdom of Satan. And we know that he has come to do this, for he said in Matthew 12:28, but if I'm casting out demons by the Spirit of God, then know that the kingdom of God has arrived among you. And I declare unto you today that this sign has been fulfilled. The evidence of the invasion of the kingdom of God upon earth is the fact that Jesus came and drove out the devil and drove out demons. And anyone who follows Jesus Christ, anyone in the kingdom of God, any born-again child of God, must then also be a demon-casting, darkness-piercing, devil-destroying follower of Jesus Christ. And how can you be a demon-casting, darkness-piercing, devil-destroying follower of Christ and mix up with the very people who are under his control? You cannot be a friend of God and a friend of the world system. You can't be a friend of righteousness and a friend of darkness. Either you're with God or you're with Satan. There is no middle ground. You cannot have it both ways. And it's time to make your choice and take your stand on holy ground. Whose side are you on? For friendship with the world is enmity with God. And friendship with God will make you an enemy of this world. If you believe it, say amen. Reminds me of the man who, after Agape House service on Sunday one week, he wanted to go to Takoradi to visit his family. So he went down to the motor park and found a very nice car going to Takoradi. They opened the back door and he put his foot in as if he wanted to enter the Takoradi car. But as he did that, he looked to his right and he saw a car very close, just near him. And on the top, they had a sign that said, Aflao. And he looked inside that car and there was a beautiful lady inside. And she batted her eyes like this. And she gave him a big smile. She said, "Hi. Are you from Agape House? Me too." And suddenly he was torn. He knew he had family in Takoradi. He was already planning to go to Takoradi. But he couldn't miss this opportunity to meet this beautiful lady and get to know her and exchange numbers. Hey, Abba. So he decided he would have the best of both worlds. So he took his remaining leg, the right leg, and he put that inside the car going to Aflao. One leg in Takoradi, one leg in Aflao. Hey, Charlie, I have the best of both worlds. He started exchanging numbers with the lady, talking sweet to her. Everything was cool. He could have the best of both until the drivers kicked the engine and put the car in gear. They both started to drive, and the young man started to shake. And suddenly the Takoradi car went west, and the Aflao car went east, and the young man fell on his bottom on the ground. That's a picture of a lot of you. You've got one foot in the church. You pray. If you have a need, you even come to all night. You pay your tithe once in a year. You say scriptures. You listen to gospel music. But when something attracts you, when something lures you in the world, you put your other foot there. You think, I can have the best of both. A little bit of Jesus, a little bit of lady. But they're going in opposite directions. And you may only temporarily put one foot in each, but they're going in opposite directions. And you cannot be a friend of God and a friend of the world because you can't go in two different directions at the same time. Listen to 2 Corinthians 6, 14 to 18. Listen carefully. Don't team up with those who are unbelievers. How can righteousness be a partner with wickedness? How can light live with darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? How can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever? And what union can there be between God's temple and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will live in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they will be my people. Therefore, everyone say therefore. Come out from among unbelievers and separate yourselves from them, says the Lord. Don't touch their filthy things, and I will welcome you, and I will be your father, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. And you have to choose. You cannot be a friend of God and a friend of the world. You need to shift your friends and shift your future into God's kingdom with God's people. Now, I believe deep in our hearts, we all know this. If we're honest today, we would all acknowledge that we know there are some people that when we get around them, they pull us down and lead us astray and tempt us to sin. They're a bad influence on us. And yet, we seem powerless to change. What is it that makes us follow the crowd? What is it that makes us behave like Danny in our pre-sermon video clip? Doing what he knew was foolish, but doing it because his friends prompted him. I believe that's the second step today. Turn your notes over to page 2 and understand that we all face a choice, but we also all face the challenge. The challenge is, will we be motivated by the fear of God or the fear of man? For the thing that moves us to do what we don't want to do, the thing that makes us do what we know we shouldn't do, even though we don't want to, is when our friends come around and we're buckled by the fear of man, when the influence of others leads us astray, because we don't want to be viewed as wicked, we don't want to be ridiculed or laughed at, we don't want to be isolated or rejected, so we go along to please the crowd. That's the lesson we learned from Kwame Lizard. Kwame Lizard had a great occasion coming up. The time had arrived for him to go to his fiancée's village, marry her, and take her home. He was so excited. He'd prepared for years and years. And finally, the great day came. He was ready. And he invited his friend Kwesi Lizard to go along with him. But unfortunately, as they dressed up and prepared, other animals from the forest came along and decided that they wanted to go with Kwame Lizard to his fiancée's village. And so the hawk, the grass cutter, and the turtle all gathered around and said, "We want to go with you. We want to go with you." And Kwame Lizard was the kind of guy that couldn't say no to anybody. He didn't want to hurt anyone's feelings. He didn't want to offend anyone. So reluctantly, he smiled and agreed, "Yes, let's all go together. The more, the merrier." But what Kwame Lizard didn't understand is that those other friends were a distraction who would keep him from his destination. For it wasn't long after they'd started on the journey that Mrs. Grasscutter saw a nice blade of grass and started eating the grass by the roadside. And when Kwame Lizard said, "Please, madame, we have to go," she said, "Oh, I'm eating, I'm enjoying. What are you in a hurry for? Just relax." And so they waited for some hours while Grasscutter cut the grass. And then before he knew what had happened, the hawk had spied something in a distant land. And as he flew high above, he shouted to Kwame Lizard, "Wait for me, I'm coming. I have to go and see what I see over there." For 2 whole days, they waited for the hawk to fly through the air before he came back. Kwame Lizard didn't want to offend anybody. Kwame Lizard didn't want the hawk to call him wicked. Kwame Lizard was afraid what the hawk would do to him, so he sat at the road and waited for 2 days. But the worst of all was the turtle. Because as they were going, they came to a place in the road where a tree had fallen on the path. The turtle couldn't crawl over it. The turtle couldn't crawl over under it. And so they had to sit and wait for the tree to rot and decay before the turtle could walk through it. Hey! By the time Kwame Lizard got to his fiancée's village, she had tired of waiting for him, and she'd gone to marry another man. Oh. The lizard let his friends keep him from his destiny. He wanted his fiancée. He was headed there, but something held him back. It was the fear of man. And the same is true in our lives today. Fear of others will hinder you from reaching heaven. Fear of others will keep you from your destiny. And there are many of you here today who want God. You want to choose Jesus. You want to grow as a Christian and become the person He's called you to be. But you're afraid of people and you're hindered and weighed down by other people's opinions. And when I talk about the fear of man, I'm not talking that you're afraid of someone coming to beat you. I'm not talking about a fear of armed robbers. I'm talking about the fear of their influence because you're afraid of what they think. You're more concerned with pleasing people than you are pleasing God. You're afraid to say something that will offend, so you keep quiet even when your words would be helpful. You're afraid to take action because you don't want to be viewed as being proud, so you sit on your hands and do nothing. You're afraid your witness might cause a quarrel, so you keep quiet, ashamed of Jesus Christ. And if we're honest, all of us this morning would admit that we have all been guilty of giving in to the fear of man. For this is, in fact, the original sin of Adam. The Bible tells us in the Garden of Eden, when God gave the command, "Don't eat from this tree," Eve went, and Adam was there standing next to her. And Eve was tempted, and she took the fruit. Adam knew it was wrong. Adam could have stopped her. Adam should have spoken up. Adam should have said, "Wait, lady, what are you doing?" Adam should have grabbed her arm and said, "No, don't sin against God." But Adam kept quiet. He feared his wife more than he feared God. Maybe he didn't want to lose her. Maybe he didn't want to offend her. Maybe he didn't want to get into a quarrel with her. But he became snared with sin because he went along with the crowd rather than with God. And that's the problem for all of us. Anytime we follow the crowd, we become snared, trapped in bondage. Proverbs 29:25 says, "The fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe." And how many of us can honestly say that sometimes we've kept quiet because we were afraid of being ridiculed, afraid of looking bad, afraid of what others would say or think, we're afraid of offending man. And those men don't even care about us. Those men won't stick with us in a crisis. But we're afraid to speak up. At our working place, when there's wrongdoing taking place, when people are stealing from the company, we know it, but we don't want to say anything. We're afraid if we do, they will accuse us of trying to destroy them. You don't want to tell on them, and so you do nothing. When a co-student comes in the examination hall and says, please give me the answer, you say to yourself, if I don't give him the answer and help him cheat, he will think I'm wicked. You're more concerned about your reputation than your righteousness. Some of the young people in our midst, you go to school one day, your friends are gathered under a tree in a crowd. They say, hey, come here, we got something to show you. You go there and you discover they've got a laptop and they're watching hardcore pornography. They're laughing, but you feel guilty. You know it's wrong to watch pornography, but you're afraid to turn and walk away. You know if you do, they will say, eh, culo, dog guy, mama ba. So you stay and watch, and you pretend to enjoy it, but you grieve the Holy Spirit inside of you, and you plant pictures in your mind that are bondage to you, and you cannot break free. You are ensnared by the fear of man.
Experience deep worship. Hear life-changing sermons by Pastor Whitcomb.
And the Bible says all the people saw it and they lifted their hands and says, Jehovah, He's the Lord. Jehovah is the Lord. Jehovah is the Lord.
Enjoy a truly friendly experience. Join us at Agape House in East Legon every weekend. A warm welcome awaits you. Agape House New Testament Church, Agape Land, East Legon. Saturday night church from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. First Sunday service from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Second Sunday service, 10:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m.